Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for spending some time with us. And I say evening because here in Massachusetts in the United States, it is evening. But you could be listening anywhere in the world at any time, and that's really very cool and exciting. So wherever you are, thank you for listening. My guest tonight is Catherine Samuelson, and we're going to be talking about angels and guides. And I'm very curious what her take on all of that is. I've got my own. We will have a wonderful time. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And since we're going to be talking about angels and guides, I thought I would talk a little bit about this whole idea of hearing non-physical beings. You know, what when people are freaking out about it, people say, "You're hearing voices?" And that's actually an issue, obviously, because for psychiatry, for the medical world, hearing a voice that other people can't hear is considered a hallucination and or delusion. And when I talk to psychiatrists, I usually start the conversation with, look, let's start off with my giving you that I have three or four diagnoses in the DSM-5, which is where they look up what particular kind of crazy you are, except I'm not crazy. So you're going to have to deal with the fact that all of this stuff is happening in my experience, but there isn't anything about my life that doesn't work. Dr. Bernie Siegel said, if you talk to God, it's called praying. If you listen to God, it's called psychosis. So we have this basic problem in the Western world about what do you do with this information that people get? And for psychics and shamans, everything is energy, everything is connected, everything is conscious, and everything can interact. The whole process of doing what we do in that kind of work is learning how to listen. Learning how to communicate, and it's usually a two-way communication. So we've had folks on the show that talk to all kinds of things and get answers, talk to nature spirits, talk to trees. For everything, and you know, I always laugh because people say, well, what about all those weird little, you know, characters in fairy tales? Are there really fairies and elves and dwarves? And my usual answer is you have no idea. Yes, every one of those things has a reality to it, and they're different in every part of the world, which is why you have leprechauns in Ireland and fairies in Britain and the United States, and there's a different name for them and a different way of being in various parts of Asia, and Iceland has their own little people. And either everybody in the world who has heard those stories or had an experience of them is crazy, or there's a reality there that some people can interact with. And they've been telling the stories and teaching people how to do it for thousands of years. But somehow, at some turning point in the way people look at the world, the idea of getting information from something that is not physical and standing in front of you that you can touch was considered to be wrong or bad or in some way crazy. So here we are. Most of the people that are on my show have some experience like that, and none of us are crazy. So we will have some fun this time talking about angels and guides, and I'll share some of my experience with archangels and some of the other beings that I deal with, because that's a major part of my work and my experience in the world. So we're going to have some fun today. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing and a perfect segue to meeting Catherine Samuelson. How are you tonight, Catherine?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for letting me be on the show.
And we'll talk some about your new book, which came yesterday and is gorgeous.
It's Thank you kindly. I always give credit to my book designer and the photographer because, yeah, the idea came through me. And, you know, I asked the universe for an artist, and then there was the book designer, and she brought the photographer. But it would not be what it is without them.
Right, right. And we'll talk some about that and the other work that you do. But we always start this conversation by asking the guest, how did you get here? What was your, you know, what was your path? What was your walk about? How did life unfold for you that put you in the position that you're in now doing this work with the understanding that you have?
And my sister, the psychologist, and my sister, the social worker, will attest I am not crazy.
It's always good to have confirmation.
Well, my first experience of angels was actually on a Christmas Eve in like 1962, 63, when I was with the family walking across the parking lot to go into the church, and I looked up and saw a praying figure in the sky, you know, and there was long gaps and, you know, spiritual reading and religious reading and going to church and all that, ending up in law school because I couldn't do anything with my self-designed liberal arts major. And at some point, I got in contact with a psychic who channels a being by the name of O'Brien and was reading a book called Ask Your Angels, I think it was. I don't even know if it's in print. And it told you how to create your own set of divination cards. And this was, you know, like in 92. Before the whole proliferation of divination cards. I'm sure there was tarot cards back then, but there weren't all the Dorian Virtue and the Carolyn Mace and all that stuff. And so I did them, and on a number of occasions got something about automatic writing, and I was consulting O'Brien and one time, and he said, you should try automatic writing. Mm-hmm. Well, I did. And, you know, fits and starts and lots of practice and lots and lots and lots of practice. And then I ended up moving to Massachusetts and not finding a law job and getting certified as a life coach. And so, well, I got to do something with my life. And I think, you know, not getting the law job was, you know, the universe's way of saying, it's time, honey. So I slowly started doing it, you know, going to a psychic development class and doing it for other people. And just, you know, for a long time, it was, why me? And had to get to, why not me? You know? Right. And also, a lot of practice and a lot of saying, am I getting this right? And asking my angels and guides, am I getting this right? Is this you or is this me? And sometimes they'd say, that was your answer. And I go, okay, what's the real answer? So the automatic writing, which makes sense to me because as a lawyer, you do a lot of writing, you do a lot of speaking, and I've always been more on the verbal side than the math or the artistic side. So, and it's, everybody has a different gateway to approach it. Some people do tarot, some people do psychometry, some people will hold your hand, some people breathe deeply, and it just, you know, there's a different gateway, as you know, David, so... That's sort of hopefully the shortened version of my path.
So you started doing the automatic writing, and describe for folks that are don't really have a sense of what that feels like, although we've had a couple of guests that have had done various versions of our automatic writing. How does it feel and how does it work for you?
Well, I was reprimanded once by a spiritualist minister who said, no. It was either inspirational writing or spiritual writing. And I'm like, okie dokie, because the angels and guides call it automatic writing. And when I started out, I would do meditation first, and now I'm much more able to quickly connect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, breathe deeply, feet on the floor. They get a little cranky if I'm not sitting up straight. You know, they like that connection. And take the pen in hand or some kind of object. Sometimes I use a chopstick because I've given up doing the ink because they just write over and over and over into the same place. So it's like, why waste the ink and the paper? And they just take over and start writing. And I know at the same time in my head what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my gateway to it, as I call it. And I,
so you're, and I get so you're that, hearing it at the same time that your hand is writing it.
Hearing is, it's not as if I'm hearing another voice. It just, the words come into my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So hearing, yes, maybe knowing.
Right. And that, and that's a difference in terms of which chakra the information flow is through. So hearing it is typically connected to the third eye and the throat chakra. The knowing it without any of that sensory stuff is through the crown chakra.
Oh,
it just drops in.
Something.
What's fascinating is they've done studies of people who are clairaudient and do hear things mm-hmm. as if it was a voice. And mm-hmm. the parts of the brain that light up are exactly the same as if you were hearing a real voice.
That
it's processed in the brain exactly the same way as a sensory input.
Right.
So,
because it's all, you know, you were talking in your metaphysical musing, and it reminded me, sometimes when people question it, I'll say it's all quantum physics.
Well, that's it. That's it.
And
we can digress for a minute, because my favorite little science thing to fuss with now is why everyone's so excited about the Higgs boson. And the Higgs boson, which is going to in some way explain why particles have mass, or is mm-hmm. the particle that has mass, or is an energy field around a particle that creates mass, or whatever it is. As soon as they say that, you realize that the 4% of the physical universe that has mass, they know what mass does, but they don't know why it exists.
And some people call the Higgs boson the God particle.
Right. You know, there are all kinds of things that once, if you don't know something as basic as what mass is, you don't, you know, space and time and gravity are functions of mass.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all of the physical world, which we can use in an easy and easily predicted way, fortunately, is basically unexplainable because
right,
we don't know.
And most of the universe.
Right, and then there's dark matter, which is, we know it's there because it affects gravity and
right.
acts like mass, but we can't find it because we don't have a technology.
And most of the universe is what they call dark matter, and it's not
right.
dark because it's bad and evil. It's just dark because they can't see it.
Right, they can't. It isn't lit up. They don't
right.
have a technology that will measure it and read it.
Except it causes distortion, I think, in some fields.
Right. The gravity of it causes distortions. So,
and then most of the energy in the universe is not visible. It's
right.
called dark energy.
Right.
And so
when I say to people, I shift from the particle focus of the physical senses to the energy focus of everything else in the universe. And then since we're no longer dealing with the particle reality, there's no space and no time, and everything is accessible.
Right. You get into the wave mode.
So right. You know, some people will go with you, and other people just steam comes out of their ears and their brains liquefy. It's like, what? Huh? How?
I went to talk to some group at the invitation of my then cranial sacral therapist, and one of the people, they're, I don't believe in God and the angels. And I'm like, well, in that case, this is how I explain it. It's quantum physics, and it's, you know, twin electrons and superstrings and, you know, wormholes. And
well, basically, if indeed, well, which of the many stories? Everybody who is in medicine thinking from a materialist scientific point of view, that the only thing that matters is matter, looks at the brain and says consciousness must be a function of the brain. which breaks down completely when you realize that there are people with hydroencephaly, which is water on the brain, mm-hmm. and the fluid inside their head pushes all the brain matter out of the way, and they wind up with basically a brain the thickness of a slice of bologna on the inside of their skull. Now, a lot of those people don't function and eventually die. A few of them have advanced degrees in physics, and they have no brain.
That's really damn interesting.
Okay, so the brain does something, but it's not where consciousness comes from, and it's not where intelligence comes from. It's a switching station.
The ancient Egyptians thought wisdom and intellect resided in the heart.
Right, right. Most of the ancient societies focused more on the heart and really didn't pay any attention to the brain. It's really, really fascinating. So, yeah, you can go in different directions with people that are throwing up their particular roadblock of understanding. But one of my constant moaning conversations is that 100 years ago, Einstein told us everything is energy, and some of that energy is also particles. And you can graduate not only from high school but from college and never hear that, much less understand it.
But on the other hand, the idea of twinned electrons freaked him out. He had a lot of problems with quantum physics.
Right, spooky action at a distance. He didn't like the idea that things would change in response to something else at a distance, to which my response is, that's my life.
Right, because when he talked about that, it was, God doesn't play dice.
Well, he really didn't have, I think he eventually got to the point where he didn't have a real problem with quantum mechanics. He had a problem with the idea of probabilities. There was randomness in it.
Chaos theory.
So that was the part of God doesn't play dice. It was like, there's got to be something that is more concretely understandable than just saying probabilities. He didn't like that part of the math.
Right, and he spent a lot of the end of his life trying to find a unified theory, and he wasn't able to do it.
Right.
The weirdness of things work one way is what I call the Newtonian universe, the macro universe, the material universe, and they work a different way in the quantum world.
And what we're finding out is that quantum reality does work in the macro reality that we live in, that we experience. It's just more subtle, and people aren't looking for it unless you're doing the kind of stuff that we do, in which case it's all over the place and totally obvious.
And you at some point get with, you know, like, oh, okay, there are dragons.
You've met the dragons too?
I have some dragons who hang out with me.
We can talk later, and your dragons can talk to my dragons.
Right. And what people have to understand is some of these beings are actually metaphysical beings who sometimes appear to people.
Right.
So, again, O'Brien, I asked him, and he said, yeah, there's a Loch Ness monster, but it's a metaphysical being who sometimes appears. You know, that's what... But the people also have to understand, none of us in this business are absolutely 100% correct because we're human.
And we're also having our own experience of a very small slice of something very complicated and very big.
And if you have a belief system, sometimes, you know, I will sometimes doing readings have to say, stop, I'm sorry, I have to step out of my way. You know, I'm checking to make sure this wasn't my answer, you know, because if what they're telling me fits with my belief system, I want to make sure it's them and not my belief system.
Right.
You know, there are people who say, oh, everybody has one guardian angel. I'm like, really?
No.
Why are people having 5, 6, 8? And it's a different number just because it is. It depends on where you are on your spiritual path, how much work you've done. One time the angels and guides said, it depends on the song your soul sings. you know? You know, and there are times that people will ask me, well, what's the difference between angels and spirit guides? I'm like, I want to say, I don't give a crap enough to figure it out. But I just politely, you know, say, okay, let's ask them, and they get an answer for the day, and it may be the same answer that the other person who asked, you know.
Right.
But, right. You know, people have animal guides, they have fairies, dragons, not everybody has all of these beings. And my explanation is just as there are lots of tribes on Earth, there are lots of tribes in the metaphysical world.
Right.
I also kind of feel like, in some ways, I don't have to know all the answers.
Well, and since my work is fixing problems, cleaning things up and fixing problems, rather than doing readings, my feeling about all of those various, as you call them, tribes, is I'm open to meeting any of them when the time is right. And I know it's extremely likely that every single thing that's ever been described actually exists in another dimension, which I may or may not touch into depending on circumstances. But I don't need to know all of them personally to know that they probably exist. So
first
time I met elves, it was really pretty funny. They were, well, you talk to the trolls all the time. Why don't you have, like, guys, we just met. Be nice. You know?
You know, and the fairies often come through like, we want to play. We want to play.
Right. Well, the fairies almost never show themselves to me because I clean up demonic stuff. And they absolutely can't tolerate that energy. They won't go
anywhere near. And I think people have to understand, a lot of people think of fairies as like Tinkerbell. Little tiny flying fairies.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. There's some 6-foot tall fairies out there.
And some of them are really in your face, and some of them are really pranksters. And yeah.
But I'm not what I call a direct medium, but I can ask through the angels and guides about, you know, people have passed on, and you know, and often people who've passed on, they just, like, all that stuff is gone. You know, I had a client who was dithering about selling the family home, and the parents came through and said, "Sell it." And she's going, "But it's the family home." And they're like, "Sell it. It's just a house."
How wonderful to be able to get that message.
You know, it's like, because, and they all seem to talk about the unconditional love of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Of a source, whatever you want to call God, you know, and people are like, oh my God, you know, it's like this, oh my God, you're dabbling in all this stuff. And like, no. When you talk to the angels, you're talking to God. You know, it's because they're the messengers of God, right?
Right. And most of my work has been with the archangels, partly because of the kind of stuff I do. It's kind of a SWAT team that I've become associated with. We have to go here and take care of this. Oh, really? Okay. Do I have to do it right this minute, or can I wash my hands?
And one of the nice things about doing the automatic writing is if I ain't got the pen in my hand, I'm not open for business, so I'm not going to be wandering around talking to people in the grocery store like, oh my God, you know, you better wait an extra 5 minutes or you're going to be in a car. You know, it's like, I've said to them, unless it's an emergency.
Right.
No. Right. You know, so people who are, I once went to a book talk for that Carolyn Mace was giving, and she said, if you're in this business, you have to be ready to do it 24/7. And I'm like, not healthy.
Must be able to set limits.
Yes, setting boundaries is just fine.
There's certainly, well, the other thing is that time doesn't exist in that realm. There are a lot of other things. We're going to need to go to a break in a minute. I want to make sure people know how to find you online.
Thank you, sir. I am on Facebook, and so you can Google that. And I have a website. It's katharinesamuelson.com. And let me spell that. Katharinesamuelson.com. And so you can Google Katharine Samuelson. Look for the Katharine Samuelson in Vermont. There are a few of us out there with the name spelled this way.
Right.
It's a little rarer, but there are a few of us.
Yes, I understand that one. When I first got online, there were only two David Farkases, and we decided to use our middle initials. Mm. And now there are eight or nine, so I use my middle name. So that's definitely a problem. Okay, so we are going to go to a break. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest is Catherine Samuelson, and this is the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win.
Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
I'm home. I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Catherine Samuelson, and we've been talking about angels and guides and having a wonderful conversation, but I really want to hear about the work that you're doing and the book.
Okay.
So obviously you do read, you do.
I call them angel readings.
Right.
And people can ask about health, family, people who've passed over, life purpose, should they change their job? I mean, I remember doing a reading and somebody was concerned about her job and the answer was get your resume ready now. And found out later that they were right. You know, people have come and just when I really know it's not me, it's like I'm sort of sitting there kind of mentally, my mouth open going, really? Because they're going,
what?
What? Is it like, you should study shamanism. You should study deep ecology. I had no clue what deep ecology was or if it even existed. And apparently it does. You know, other people, they're like, oh, what we really want you to do is to really think about this thing that we're going to ask you to do. And then if you consider it and you decide that you want to do it, then you have to say it out loud and really, you know, a statement that you accept that you will let us use your heart as a beacon of light. And once you do this, that's all you have to do. And I'm like, okay. You know, and so it's not as if it's the same thing for everybody. You know, there will be patterns because my sense is the angels and guides are trying to find more and more people to put light into the world. But it's not always in the same way.
Right.
The other thing I do is life coaching, which actually sometimes the angels get kind of life coachy. But the life coaching is where, you know, I have to be careful. I'm not somebody's therapist. I'm not their lawyer, you know, the whole thing. But it's helping people to figure out where they want to be, how to get there, nudging them. If they keep not doing a piece of what I call homework, and it's not because life is interfering, then it's like, okay, you know, helping them kind of face why they're resistant to doing that.
Right.
And so then the third piece is the book, and now actually I'm working on two other books.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, well. So the book is called Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be. And it actually started out as a set of cards and an accompanying book, but we went through about all the publishers we could find that would maybe be interested, but it's harder and harder, I think, to get cards published. I mean, Red Wheel Wiser got back to us and said, oh, we don't publish cards anymore, and I'm thinking it would have been useful if you'd put that on your website.
Right.
Don't you think, David?
Right.
Yeah, I think it was Sterling who sent me a letter, you know, rejection letter saying they didn't publish fiction. I'm like, but it's not. If you can't send me the right rejection letter, I guess I really wouldn't want you as my publisher anyway. So then I tried to find an agent.
At least for the individual who read your proposal or whatever you gave them, they couldn't wrap their head around it.
Right. You know, and tried some agents. Some agents were interested, but one wasn't sure how she'd sell it when it was still cards. Another one said she liked it, but didn't know if it had a big enough platform, which I've since learned is publishing speak for fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have a large enough fan base, you can get a piece of crap published.
Well,
so,
one, you know,
I went to lose the book.
It's making a name for yourself once people are excited about whatever else you're going to put out there, they'll buy it.
Right.
So,
so
I've always said that I'm willing to be famous for 3 years, no more.
You know, and people do self-publish card sets. But, you know, the one site that I was referred to said they couldn't guarantee the registration of the front and back images, which means they line up exactly. And I'm like, no. And to go through them, then I could have had a deal with Tarot Media Company to be the distributor, but it probably means getting either through this company or someplace in India or China and then buying 500 or 1,000 sets and warehousing them with Tarot Media, who would then distribute them.
Right.
So I went to Linda and said, let's put it all in one book.
Well, and it's different, and it I think will be really exciting to people that once they realize what's in here. So why don't you describe what you've done? Because it's very, you know, I think the word clever doesn't quite do it, but it's very different from what most people do.
Right. It's not really a divination set, although you can flip it open. You can say, what do I need to know today? And flip it open and say, right-hand page, left-hand page. It is based on, there's 28 pairs of meditation images, which results in 56 images. And you could meditate on one or both at the same time. So since it's in a book, if you only wanted to work with one, you could just put a piece of paper over the other. And they're based on seeming dualities because, you know, our humanness, it's like black and white, night and day, you know. So part of this is how you meditate on these, go deeply into your heart to get the information that you're able to receive from this contemplation or meditation. But part of it is how you navigate between these seeming dualities, because it's not really either or.
Mm-hmm.
The first, number one, is breathe deeply, breathe slowly. You can breathe through anything. But its companion is action is counterpart to the breath, be in the world. So it's navigating this deep, slow breathing, but being active at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's then the second part of the book is an expanded version, expanded text, sort of that you can use with or without meditation images in the first part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a set of exercises that you can do if you choose with the images to sort of give you a different way to look at it. But it basically, how to use this is like, it's up to you. Because
right,
meditation
it's such a, first of all, it's a beautiful book. And secondly, it's a very different approach. And obviously is working with duality in both sides of the brain in a wonderful way. I looked at it and went, oh, I've never seen anybody. I've seen people do conceptually this kind of thing, but not in a book. Not as, you know, here, look at these two things in front of you kind of thing.
It really was generated by the angels and guides. You know,
of course, but wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, I would like to give credit to my book designer and photographer again.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is when it first came through the information through my very psychic then massage therapist who looked at me and said, I think you're supposed to create a set of angel cards. Well, it was a set of cards through the angels, you know. I said, oh, okay. And then it's like, but I'm going to need an artist. And 2 months later, I re-met the now book designer who I had met 5 years before on a trip to Ireland. And I went, oh, okay. And her husband is the photographer.
Oh, so you had the team.
Yes. It was like sometimes when you ask, the universe really does provide.
Right.
So, you know, that saying, like, be careful what you ask for.
Right. Not only be careful what you ask for, be careful what you're angry about and rail at the universe for. I've had some very funny things happen with that.
Such as?
Huh?
Such as?
Give me a sign. Just give me a sign. Next day I had a sign painting job. I'm like, I hate when you do that. Thanks, I needed the work, but I hate when you do that. There's a whole series of those. And the universe is, or however you want to conceptualize what the response mechanism is a punster, for one thing. So if there are multiple meanings, they will mess with it.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things you don't want to be so full of detail that you don't allow the universe to provide you something that's actually in a way better than what you've asked for.
Right.
But you don't want to be so sparse in your detail. They can be.
Right. And the other thing is, whatever you have left out that would be really funny to point out to you, they will come up with a way to answer exactly what you asked for because you were specific, leaving out the stuff that you really should have paid attention to.
I And I have found that the angels and guides are much more tolerant and much more humorous.
They're hysterical.
And I was doing a reading for somebody, and she asked about a friend of hers. And I physically jostled. And even though I don't normally hear them literally, it was almost as if I could hear them laughing.
Yep.
Which is what startled me.
They laugh at me all the time.
I asked about her friend.
Gales of laughter. I'm like, all right, let me know when you're done. What's so funny this time?
Well, and one time, this was a number of years ago before I moved to Massachusetts, and in that condo building, there was a laundry room, so I had to go outside, go through the courtyard, and go to the laundry room, and I'm mumbling to myself one day about doing laundry. And they're like, and suddenly it just popped in my head, having to do laundry is not so bad. And I'm like, how would you know? You don't have to do it. But I think their point was that I was physically, mentally, and emotionally able to do this.
And you had clothing.
Right. So having to do laundry is not so bad.
Right. It's annoying, but isn't it wonderful that you have clothing and quarters and you're physically able to go up and down the stairs?
The arms to carry the laundry basket and the legs to walk.
Yep. If you open yourself to how amusing this stuff can be and don't judge it, it really is a whole lot of fun and a hoot. People who are very religious in the sense that they think everything is serious, I think are missing so much in any of the many traditions all over the world.
Rigidity and intolerance and fear, just it keeps you from accomplishing and growing and transforming.
Right. But also, if you think that everything is serious and that you have to be very careful not to disrespect whoever it is that you're interacting with or praying to, there's a whole realm of whimsy and fun and all the rest of it that could be going on that you completely miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very fortunate to, you know, be in contact with the personalities of deities from different traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, they all have their quirky little things because they are who they are. But right. They always have a smirk and they're always, you know, in the back of it, it's always, oh, check this out. Have you ever seen this?
It's like, don't be so damn serious.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, one time I try to meditate some every morning and do the automatic writing almost every day to keep the channel clear. And for some reason, Kuan Yin came in. It's like, it was clear it was Kuan Yin. It's like, okay. I don't remember at this point what Kuan Yin had to say, but it was like, okie dokie.
Right. Well, I'm always looking for allies when I do the cleanup of dark stuff that I do. I would rather someone else do it so that I don't have to do the confrontation. So one of the entities that does that for me is Kali, who is a very formidable goddess from the Hindu tradition.
Right. That's how she pronounces her name? Because I thought it was Kali.
I've heard it several different ways.
And probably doesn't really care.
Right. And then I don't even remember how I ran across a picture and a story of Guan Yu, who is the polar opposite of Kuan Yin. He was actually a general in a particular era in China who was very successful and very ruthless. But he's considered the household deity for lots of families in China.
Hmm.
It's his statue that sits on the altar as the one that protects the house.
That's an interesting person to have as a general.
Right. So he still has this role, even though he's not in the physical. And I met him and said, I've heard that you like doing this. And he said, oh, yes, we'll have fun. And, you know, and it's like, Okay, so now I've got Hindu tradition, I've got Chinese tradition, I've got archangels. The dragons showed up because a friend of mine's in a mystery school and they were working with dragons, and he had companions that were dragons. And I started whining, I want dragons. He said, David, you know how this works. Just ask to talk to the dragons. And so I did, and you know, now I have three dragons. And it's like, and then I have a friend whose companion animals are tigers, and she wanted dragons. And I said, you know, come on, you do this all the time. Just ask them to. And so now she has two dragons that get along just fine with the tigers.
And that's so interesting. You know, this whole thing of people like one angel. I'm like,
no. And they're not going to get mad at you because you have somebody else that you talk to. They're
right.
All there for
it. I was acquainted with this woman for a while that we were doing trades. She was an esthetician, and so I was like, okay, I'll trade that with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some psychic ability, but it was one of these where I don't think she ever really checked in to see how accurate she was being.
Right.
And she was describing that all these masters and teachers were fighting over working with her. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Not usually.
I don't think they fight. You know, and the information came through to her for her that she was making this more complex than she needed to be. Oh, no, you don't understand. It's complex. Didn't you just hear? That's an issue. People, when they come, they really need to listen to what's being said to them.
Right.
And then there are the people who, they come because they want you to validate their beliefs about something, and when it comes in through differently, you're wrong.
Right.
Not their beliefs.
Or the people that go to several different psychics to try and confirm what one said and what the other did.
Right.
Which never works.
Right. And if it's a day apart, the energy could have shifted.
Right. You know, but I was told that my past life over here and this happened. And, you know, then I got, yeah, well, you know, don't do that.
Yeah. For a while I was doing instant readings on Best Psychic Directory, finally blocked this guy because he was, you know, he'd called two or three times about this one woman and, you know, failed to tell me that she was married. And what I blocked him was when he called me and said, well, is she going to be calling me? And I got the answer, no. He says, but I talked to two psychics yesterday and they said yes. And I'm like, I can only tell you, I get what I get.
Right.
Energy shifts. And so I blocked him, and then I was talking to another friend who worked on Best Psychic Directory about different people, you know, very generally we don't share names, we didn't, you know, but
right.
We figured out we were talking about the same guy. He told her this woman was married, and I'm like, oh.
Now that explains a lot. Yeah.
But she gave him the same information I did, and he's just so focused on this, you know, it's like, people.
Right.
When they tell you it's not working, listen.
It's fascinating what people's expectations are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really have no idea how this stuff really works, and their sense of it being magical is very different from what that actually means.
For you and me, it's just sort of ordinary. It is what it is.
Right, and it's I forget the clever phrase that somebody said, but it's basically a higher order of the natural world. It's, you know, people look at the narrow band that they get with the physical senses and say, this is all that I can get. And I call mm-hmm. it being on AM radio. And we're broadband. We're getting a much wider range of information and frequencies than most people get. That's just because it always is there anyway, and we happen to be able to tune into it. It's not that there's some incredible, extraordinary. No, it's just there. And
right, and some people are called in a particular lifetime to be able to tap into it, and some people aren't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we all have different paths.
Well, and I think probably given an ability to get quiet and let go of all the beliefs that have been foisted upon them, probably everybody could tune in some way to a certain extent.
Right.
But living in a very noisy, busy world with a lot of distractions and having a belief system that you've accepted since childhood makes it really hard to kind of go, oh, but I'm going to widen my, no, there's not a whole lot of room.
Right. And people are still so fearful because of that biblical thing about the Witch of Endor and all that stuff. And my thought is it's the male priest who wanted to get rid of the female herbalist competition.
Well, I have a wonderful friend who's a theologian among her many other skills. And the admonition that's taken as witches and diviners is really about calling souls who have crossed over back into the physical world and asking them to do your bidding.
Which is an entirely different gig.
Entirely different thing, and it's, you know, against all the rules that anybody who knows what they're doing would do.
Right.
It's basically a form of dark magic that will get you in a lot of trouble.
Anybody who's hung out with you know, everyday Wiccans, they pray, they burn candles, they burn incense, they have ritual. And I recently said to somebody, doesn't that sound like the Catholic Church?
Right. And if you look at the Catholic rituals, they look a whole lot like Hindu rituals.
Or all probably old Roman rituals, or, you know,
repeating a prayer over and over again, counting the number of times you said it with beads.
Right.
Lighting candles, sitting in front of a statue of some deity or aspect of God. All of those things are very, very Hindu and Buddhist.
Right.
But they don't notice.
Yeah, but I had the experience of, I had met a woman at a book club at the local library I went to for a while in the community I just moved from in September, and met her on the street, and I said something about working an event, and she said, what? And I slipped and said, psychic, and she just started literally, I don't think she was aware that she was doing this, but she literally started to sidle away from me.
Yeah, I understand.
And she,
well,
and she
it's said, obvious that we could keep talking for days. And not only amuse ourselves, probably also amuse the audience, but we're running out of time.
Oh, so, rats.
So please tell everybody again what your website is.
It's KatherineSamuelson.com, and it's KatherineSamuelson.
And your new book is Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be.
Mm-hmm.
One wonderful, beautiful book. Katherine, thank you so much for being on the show. And as the saying goes, we really must do this again sometime.
Sure. thank you for having me on the show and the kind words about the book.
You're welcome. And if you stay on the line, we can chat a little bit after we go off the air.
Okay.
Again, my guest was Katherine Samuelson, and check out her book and look for her on Facebook and online. If you got at all curious about this strange guy, David, and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view on the contact tab is every conceivable way I could think of communicating with me, including a scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute free assessment, and we can look at a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and see how my work might be helpful. If you want more about the show, you can go to thefarkasfiles.com. Been doing this for 4.5 years. There are hundreds of interviews with fascinating people, so please take advantage of that. And Empower Radio is also streamed on TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and there may be another one, but I'm not remembering it. So you can find us almost anywhere. The Farkas Files is always on at 9 p.m., and the new live show for that week is always recorded on Thursdays. So check it out, and there is wonderful, positive radio 24/7 on Empower Radio, so check that out. Thank you so much for taking some of your time with us and hanging out. It's very exciting to me knowing there are people all over the world that are doing this, and I hope you get what you need out of each show. And so until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.